Britain, it turns out, has the largest number of unclaimed estates. What's an unclaimed estate? Well, it's a house that sits there empty after someone dies and continues to sit there empty. When somebody has no known will or family, their estate, which includes money, buildings or personal possessions, passes to the Crown as an ownerless property or a bona vacantia. This means anyone descended from a grandparent of the person could potentially be entitled to a share. And I'm joined in the studio live by Danny Curran, who's a professional probate genealogist from Finders International. He's also the star of BBC TV's Air Hunters. Hello.
Good morning,
How
Vanessa.
How nice to meet you. What an extraordinary sort of set of circumstances that these houses are sitting there empty when desperately people need somewhere to live in London. Tell me how all this happens for a start.
Well, there's a lot of situations I'm sure people have heard about, social isolation. As time goes on, people are less inclined to be in touch with their next of kin for one reason or another.
Yeah.
And as a result of that, when people pass away, there's often a lack of anyone nearby or known to deal with the estate and actually to deal with this empty property.
Mm-hmm. And so then what happens?
Well, the process ultimately ends up with the estate potentially being called bona vacantia, so it passed to the government. And then the government ultimately may take possession of the home and sell it, and it becomes part, you know, the liquidated assets become part of the government funds and the bona vacantia division. But obviously companies like ours were trying to avoid that happening. And the sooner we get to know about it, the better. And hopefully bring these homes back into use as well.
When you say the sooner you get to know about it, the better. Obviously the deceased is deceased. Mm-hmm. And they didn't take precautions before they passed away to make any kind of will or leave the house to a charity or anybody whatsoever, passing stranger or anybody. So therefore, when you say the sooner we get to know about it, the better, who's meant to tell you about it?
Oh, well, this is the interesting part, actually, because we're helping out the public sector an awful lot these days.
Yes.
So someone in a hospital bereavement services, someone dies, they don't know who the next of kin are. Somebody being looked after by what's called a deputyship team in a council. These are people who look after people who can't, you know, are not capable of dealing with their own financial affairs due to mental illness or whatever. They'll contact us, hospitals contact us and say, can you help? And it's all free to them.
Mm-hmm.
So our searches are only based on we can only earn a fee if we find next of kin and they sign a commission fee agreement with us. So for them, it's free. It helps out the public sector. It gets things done and it moves the whole process forward.
And technically, who or what can be next of kin? How next do you have to be?
Well, there is a definite law, intestate succession law. So the order of entitlement is spouse, issue, parents, siblings in the immediate family. And then you can have descendants of grandparents, so uncles and aunts or anyone descended from those uncles and aunts in England and Wales. In Scotland, it's more generous. You can go back to great uncles and aunts and so on.
Right. And so how do you go about tracking everybody down? I suppose you do the same thing that people do when they look into their own family genealogy, which is computers and records.
It's a mixture of archive records, computer records. We actually have a team of mainly retired police officers that goes out and knocks on doors and believe it or not, the old-fashioned method still works sometimes.
And are people, they must be absolutely astounded to have their doors knocked upon.
Well, they are quite surprised a lot of the time. People may have never heard of the person that's died. It could be that they're a strange family. Sometimes we have to tell them that it's their mother or father that's passed away. They've just not seen them for 30, 40 years.
Oh, gosh.
So it can be tricky. But ultimately, you know, if they are unclaimed, they move the details of the estate onto a website.
Mm-hmm.
And like I say, the bona vacantia list website that we have relists all those unclaimed
So let's
assets.
Imagine you do find someone, they are a descendant of the person that died's grandparents.
Yep.
And let's imagine they don't know them. So you say, you know, did you have an uncle, I don't know, Harry Smith? And they say, I don't know, don't think so or something. And then what do you do?
Well, that's surprisingly common as well. But what we have to do is independently verify that connection. So normally through the genealogy, the family tree, contacting other people through our own independent verification process, we should be able to work out who's related to who. And obviously a personal recollection is great because it might back up the work that we've done. But otherwise we're normally able to tell people, you know, you actually are related to Harry Smith and he was your uncle or your granddad.
And he did, and he had a house in the Old Kent Road and it's yours now?
Exactly.
Simple as?
This
really?
Happens. This happens.
And you get the whole thing or because it's bona vacantia, the Chancellor's taken 80% instead of 40% or whatever it is.
Well,
so how does it work?
Well, the whole inheritance tax debate is incredible because obviously in Australia and California, there's no inheritance tax at all. But bearing that in mind, most cases we'll have maybe 20 to 30 people entitled to share. Although last year I did meet a guy in Shepherd's Bush who I had to tell that his father had died, all his uncles and aunts had died, his cousins had all died. He was the only one, yeah. And he inherited a house in Hertfordshire.
Wow.
From his sort of fairly modest existence in a tower block in Shepherd's Bush. So it does happen.
True. So did you feel like the fairy in a pantomime or a fairy tale?
Well, it's very emotional because you start off talking to people about their family and it can go any way. You can't predict the outcome. But he was very upset. He was crying. And, you know, he's the last guy in the world that you'd expect to be crying. It's more like a sort of Phil Mitchell off EastEnders character. Yes. But he was so amazed to hear about even his father, he never knew anything about. So we were able to give him a family tree that explained everything about who was who. Wow. And old photos.
And isn't the moral
else.
Of this story, always make a will, which I'm always telling my lovely listeners, and I know they never listen because they never want to.
Well, funny enough, despite the industry I'm in, I think it's a mixed blessing. I'm more of a fan of nominating beneficiaries to particular policies. Because wills, the trouble with wills is that you once you've made one, you come back to it a few years later and think, oh, no, I want to change it. And it becomes a sort of lifelong mission. You hear stories of the old lady walking around with a will in a handbag.
Yeah, every afternoon to go change a bit of it. Thank you very much indeed for coming in. So nice to meet you. Danny Curran, the professional genealogist and star of Air Hunters.